Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text from the Gospel reading, Luke chapter 10, the parable of the Good Samaritan. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where the half-dead man was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, "Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back." Which of these 3, the Levite, the priest, or the Good Samaritan, do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? The lawyer said, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said, "You go and do likewise." This is our text. The church has been called a field, a hospital for sinners, and it's also been called a field hospital after battle. Picture it like this, then. Imagine our world as a major battlefield. Gettysburg, Waterloo, the Somme, Verdun, the beaches of Normandy. In our world, the number of casualties is huge, and more wounded people are being dragged off all the time. Close to the battlefield, right next to the front lines, is the church. The church is there to serve the injured. Her doors open wide in mercy. The pews are gurneys and hospital beds for the spiritually sick and wounded, for those whom the devil has assaulted and the world has maimed and sin like shrapnel has shredded. What does this picture mean to us? It means that all of us gathered here today are here or ought to be here to receive spiritual care. We're not here because we've got everything together, because we've got all our ducks in a row, or because we're spiritually healthy and whole. We are here to have the great physician of body and soul do his work on us, to have our Lord himself care for us, we who are dead and dying, and restore us to life. And as we gather on Sundays, it strikes me that some of us wear our wounds on the outside. They're tough to hide even with bandages. The limp of sin is obvious. Other injuries are less obvious, but no less deadly. Envy, lust, and deceit can be hidden, but they are still poison to the soul. Sometimes we may manage the symptoms, sometimes we may cover it over, but we certainly can't heal ourselves. So when we picture the church as a hospital or as a field hospital, it's not a pretty picture. It's not beautiful. It's bloody. It's gruesome and not glorious. And in fact, calling the church a hospital might be a little too tame, because the church isn't in the business of helping sinners get better, as if it's okay to simply bring sinners in and send them back out with bandages but still in their sin. The church refuses to discharge people with sin, to give them the all clear and send them away while sin still clings to them. Instead, the church cares for sinners until they're buried. So it's more like extended hospice care for the wounded, or you might even say the church is a morgue for the dead. And yet the strangest morgue you've ever seen, because people arrive dead and dying, but in Christ, they leave more alive than ever. Now the image of the church as a hospital or field hospital or morgue struck me because it seems so fitting for the parable of the Good Samaritan. For a man fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. A man who'd had the living daylights knocked out of him. A man who was beaten within an inch of his life. And he's as good as dead by the time those highway robbers had finished with him. And I dare say that probably those who passed by thought that he was dead. That a man should be stripped, beaten, and left for dead is no surprise. Such things make the nightly news. Such things are the morning headlines. But the surprise in the parable of the Good Samaritan is this: that the man who fell among the robbers isn't the only one who is half dead. Now, by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw the beaten man, he said to himself, "Not my neighbor," and he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, said to himself, "Not my neighbor," and passed by on the other side. Now think about the priest and the Levite here. When they come across this half-dead man lying in the ditch, the priest and the Levite, by all accounts, are living. They have a pulse, they have a heartbeat. But is someone really alive who can ignore a neighbor lying half-dead in a ditch? What kind of a person avoids the needy like the plague, crosses over the street in order to get as far away as possible from the one who is broken and wounded? Tell me, is that love? No, of course it isn't love. The priest and the Levite may be acting according to the law, but they violate the law of love. They've nailed the letter of the Old Testament law to a T, but destroyed its deeper meaning and intention. Instead of allowing the law to guide their love, to show them how to exercise themselves in love, they use the law to avoid love. You see, that priest and that Levite are on their way to the temple. They are on their way to do their work, and so they want to keep their hands clean. They want to remain pure and undefiled by that half-dead man so they can do their work in the temple. And that's why they pass by on the other side. It's why they avoid him at all costs, like the plague. And I know the priest and the Levite didn't harm that man. They didn't hurt him in his body, but they also didn't help and support him in his physical need. The robbers may have been the ones to beat that half-dead man and leave him in the ditch, but the priest and the Levite didn't offer them a hand when they should have. And so that priest and that Levite, I would suggest to you, are also more than half-dead. Living bodies, but dead souls. Souls that are dead to compassion and to mercy. So whenever you see a person in need, whenever you think to yourself, "Not my neighbor," or look for a way to avoid helping them, passing by on the other side, you're already way more than half-dead yourself. You are all the way dead in your trespasses and sins. And that right there is the state of the lawyer who started the whole thing off with Jesus. The lawyer who stood up to put Jesus to the test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Now he knows what's written in the law. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength, and your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus says, "That's right. A+ on the law exam. You got it. Do this and you will live." And just to make sure, because he's a lawyer after all, and he's bound and determined to live by the law or to die trying, the lawyer asks one more question. Just, "Who is my neighbor?" Simply dotting his I's and crossing his T's, because he thinks that he's justified by the law, by what he's done, by how well he's loved God, and by how well he's loved his neighbors. And when he looks at the law, he is only looking at the law in order to see how good he looks. He thinks that it shows how clean and how pure and how healthy he is, when he's got absolutely no idea how lost he is. That lawyer is, in many respects, like the priest and the Levite. He is the one who would avoid love in order to say that he's fulfilling the law. But I would suggest to you that the lawyer is also like the man half dead in the ditch. He has no idea how wounded and sick he is. He has no idea how beat up and barely functioning his heart is, how much borrowed time he's living on. He has no idea how little mercy and compassion he has within himself. What that man doesn't realize is that he doesn't really love God, and he doesn't really love his neighbor. And that's what the law diagnoses in him and in us. It can diagnose our sicknesses. It can identify our wounds. It can show us our sins. But it can't heal. And it can't give life. And we all know what the dead inherit. Nothing. That lawyer who wants to justify himself by the law is unable to inherit eternal life by anything that he does. It's not that his knowledge of the law is defective. He knows the law perfectly, but what's missing is compassion, the heart of the law. What's missing is mercy. What's missing is love. If we are to use God's law properly, then we are to use God's law as a window through which we see and serve our neighbors. It shows us where they are and what their needs are and how we can reach out to them. But in contrast to the priest and the Levite, in contrast to this lawyer, there is one person in the parable who is really and truly alive. One man who has a life that he receives from his Father and carries with him into the world and by which he serves those who are wounded and in need. And of all people, it's the Samaritan, the good Samaritan. The Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where the half-dead man was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. It literally means that his insides were twisted in a knot out of love and pity and compassion and mercy for this man. And that kind of compassion isn't a work of the law. God can't command compassion. No, that is a work of love in that Samaritan. And that Samaritan, with his insides twisted in a knot, as his heart goes out to this man lying in the ditch, he goes to him and he binds up his wounds and he pours on oil and wine to bring healing. And then he sets him on his own animal and brings him to an inn. You could say he brings him to a field hospital and takes care of him. And who is this Samaritan except our Lord Jesus Christ? In the Gospels, this type of compassion that the Samaritan has is a compassion that only God shows. Everywhere where that word is used, it is used only of God. And so this good Samaritan as well is our God. Our God, whose heart goes out to those who are wounded, whose heart goes out to you and to all who are half dead or more than half dead, and to all those like that lawyer who are lacking compassion and mercy. The Samaritan is our God, having put on our human flesh and come to earth, who doesn't pass by on the other side of the road, but who climbs down into the ditch, who goes into the muck, who allows himself to touch the wounds, who allows the blood to land on his own body, who takes the dead man on his own shoulders and loads him on a donkey and brings him to the inn, to the field hospital. Takes them, these dying and dead and wounded ones, into his church. And here he cares for us in his own name. Everything that belongs to our Lord, all the credit that is in his account because of what he did for us on the cross, he uses to care for us now. Everything that he gained by going down into the ditch, by suffering and dying and being crucified, he uses on our behalf now. To bind up our wounds and to care for us. He treats us and all the wounded with his gifts. He gives to us oil and wine. He brings to us the holy baptism and the absolution and the holy communion. And he gives to us his forgiveness. And he gives to us his life. And he gives to us salvation. And he puts us in the care of his church. In the care of one another, in the care of his holy and precious gifts given here. This is what our Lord does. And his love goes way beyond what the law commands. His love goes way beyond the letter of what is demanded of us. His love is right straight from the heart. A compassion and a mercy that are eternal and are unfailing and are perfect. Jesus, the Good Samaritan, shows the compassion and mercy that we need to inherit eternal life and to love our neighbors as ourselves. And that's why we're here today. Not because we have loved our neighbors as ourselves in the way that we ought to. Not because we have done enough to inherit eternal life. But precisely because we know that we are wounded, that we are sick, that we cannot save and rescue ourselves. And so, brothers and sisters in Christ, our Lord Jesus himself is here today to care for us, to pick us up again, to bind our wounds again, to grant us his gifts. And he also calls us to care for one another. In fact, as the parable goes on, the Good Samaritan takes this man to the inn, and the next day he takes out 2 denarii and gives them to the innkeeper, saying, "Take care of the man, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back." And we know that our Lord will come back. He will come again on the clouds in great glory with his angel hosts, in a way that we can see him, even as he remains with us now by his word of promise. And we have a promise about how our Lord will repay his church when he returns, as we do the work of our Samaritan and in his name. He says, "Take care of one another. Take care of all who are half dead and wounded, and I will repay." And I know that so many of us, whether it's in our church or in our homes or in our families, are often taking care of others. We have our Lord's promise. Do not grow weary of doing good. Do not grow weary of binding up wounds and seeking to help those who are injured in the name of Jesus and with his word and his gifts. Come and receive his care here and reach out with his care to others, to those who are in such desperate need. So whether the church is a hospital or a field hospital or a morgue, it is the place where our Lord gathers us to care for us, to bind up our wounds, to bring healing and life. So let's make use of what the Lord has given us today, and let us take the compassion and mercy that he has shown to us and show that same compassion and mercy to others, praying that through us, others may come to know our Good Samaritan, who has cared for us and who cares for us still. For by his compassion, we have received grace and mercy to help in every time of need. And in Christ, we have begun to love others even as he has already loved us. Our Good Samaritan, who binds up our wounds, who gives us his care, who shows mercy and compassion, and who will come again to repay those who care in his name. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.